To sit for a whole day and to try to understand and to harav adurch and to work through texts of the kinnis like their shver Rambam, like their astir in the Gemara, like it's a Tosfos. These texts require interpretation and have defied interpretation because they're so complex and so complicated until the Rav came. So I really, all of the Jewish people are in his debt in so many ways, and certainly today. So I want to deal for the next hour and a half-ish with an issue that I started thinking about a while ago, but really started thinking about this year. And it started in February. So I mentioned earlier that one of the things that I do for CJF and for Yeshiva University is to work with rabbis, pulpit rabbis. And we not only train them and work with them while they're smicha students, but we also have a very close kesher with many musmachim from our yeshiva and from other yeshivas when they're in the field. And this past February, I had a yachei kala in Philadelphia, and after one of the sessions of the yachei kala, there were about 50, 60 rabbis from all across North America who came for a yachei kala, and during one of the breaks, one of the rabbis came over to me, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who he is, so if you're listening, remind me. And he gave me a pamphlet. He gave me a pamphlet of a collection of letters that were written in the United States in the 1760s. And he showed me something very strange. He showed me something very strange. And I xeroxed it for you at the top of page 19. While you're looking on page 19, and while I'm expressing Akor HaTov, and I expressed earlier Akor HaTov to the our immediate achsanya and to our virtual achsanya, to Congregation Keter Torah, and to CJF and to YU, I want to express specific Akor HaTov for the international webcast to Shuli and Avi Rakoff, who sponsored this in memory of Helen Kuflik and in honor of Betty Bloom Rakoff on the occasion of her 90th birthday. It's an amazing achievement. And I also want to express a specific Akor HaTov to the local Balei Achsanya sponsors, Diana and Michael Feintuch, to commemorate the yahrzeit of Michael's grandfather, David Lev Ben Shmuel Zelig, David Budminzal, and also Akor HaTov to Shari and Nathan Lindenbaum, and also I understand there's an anonymous sponsor as well. So we are in your debt. On the third day of Av, in the year 1769, Lazer ben Leib writes a letter to Michael Gretz. The letter is written in Yiddish, and what we have here in this pamphlet, and I thought I brought it with me, and maybe it's lost under a pile of papers. In this pamphlet, which is taken from a book, an article that was published in the book, in 1958, the Henry Joseph Collection of Gretz Family Papers, the article is a summary of the letter. And the letter was written in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, August 6, 1769. Lazer writes, this is the author of the article summarizing, that he and Barnard Jacobs are carefully examining the Torah scroll with the aid of the very best European Tikkuni Sofrim. And they already found 5 words missing. God knows how many more they'll find. So you have to understand that in 1769, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, there were no Rashke Bahags. And there were no Gedolei Olam, and there were no Gedolei Yisrael, and we're talking here about a community that had maybe 7.5 Jews. I don't believe that, a minion of Jews. And there were, I'm sure, Zisa Vayli Yidin, but there weren't Lamdim. And there are no rabbis in America. There are no Talmid Chachamim in America. First rabbi came to America came in 1840. There were two rabbis who came to America before 1840, but they came as Mishulachim. One came from Hebron, one came from somewhere else. Came to America, tried to make some money, and then they went back to Eretz Yisrael or to Europe. First rabbi came to America to stay in America was Rabbi Abraham Rice, who came to the United States in 1840. So the Jews came to the United States when we celebrated not too long ago in 2000 in Epis, we celebrate 1660 something. When did 23 Yidlach show up in New Amsterdam? From that time on, towards the end of the 17th century until 1840, so that's 150 years, there are no Rabbanim in America. Ish kol hayoshev einav yaaseh. You can understand how hard it was when the rabbis came, because the balabatim were used to running the show. And then the rabbis show up, and there was, it's a fascinating story about the tension between the lay leadership and the rabbinic leadership in the early years, when rabbis first showed up in America. The first rabbi is Abraham Rice, comes to New York. He couldn't get a job in New York because he didn't have a doctorate. It's really interesting. In those days, in order to get, they didn't have any rabbis, but to be a rabbi, you needed a doctorate. So he went to Baltimore. In Baltimore, you didn't need a doctorate to become a rabbi. So in 1769, Apua Velezisa Yidin, Tavei Aleihem Bracha, without them we wouldn't be here. They laid the groundwork for us. Wonderful Vayleid. And they have a Sefer Torah, and they don't know what the Sefer Torah is ancient, is Nebuch. It got five words missing in the Sefer Torah. And God knows how many more words. Next, Lazer asks Gretz to make apologies on his behalf for his failure to write to Gretz's dearest one. She knows that he cannot write English. And now the last line is why this rabbi in February in Philadelphia brought this to me. He also wishes Gretz a Merry Tisha B'Av. The rabbi comes over to me. I really hope you're listening because I really want to thank you. He wishes Gretz a Merry Tisha B'Av. Vos Tutzach. So my initial impression was that it's Amaratzis. They're sitting in Lancaster in 1769. But then I began to think that it can't be. I mean, you could be an Amaretz. But if you're examining a Sefer Torah and you realize that there are five words missing, you know, like Judaism A101 is that Tisha B'Av is a sad day. Like, you don't have to know too much to know that Tisha B'Av is a sad day. Second of all, I did some research, and I found out I know this Lazer ben Leib. This Lazer ben Leib is Avay Leit, Mamish Avay Leit. He was a secretary to Joseph Simon, who lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Joseph Simon, who lived in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, is Given Gor Avay Leit. If you go today to Philadelphia, and you go to the new American Jewish History Museum in Philadelphia, you will see on exhibit, permanent exhibit, Joseph Simon's Aron Kodesh. You will see Joseph Simon's Sefer Torah. I wonder whether that's the Sefer Torah that has five words missing. I couldn't get behind the glass. And on the Aron Kodesh, on the front of the Aron Kodesh, there's a beautiful psukim. It's in Philadelphia, Joseph Simon. Joseph Simon was an amazing Jew. In 1903, the Journal of the Lancaster County Historical Society, Volume 5, published an article that printed the memoirs of a Christian missionary who came to Lancaster. So a Christian missionary by the name of David McClure comes to Lancaster, and he writes up a memoir, and the Lancaster County Historical Society, I guess there is such a thing, has a journal, or had a journal in 1903, and they published his memoirs. And it's quoted by Jonathan Sarna in his book on American Judaism that was published in 2004. I want to give you a little window into Joseph Simon, which gives us a little window into Leib ben Lazer, or Lazer ben Leib, which is the point of departure for this presentation. In 1772, David McClure spent a weekend in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I'm at the bottom of page 19. And went with a business order on Saturday to the home of Joseph Simon, Inzer Joseph Simon. Leib ben Lazer, Lazer ben Leib is the secretary, lives in the same house with Joseph Simon in Lancaster. This is a quote from David McClure's memoirs. So Joseph Simon says, "Gentlemen, today is my Sabbath and I do not do business in it. If you will please to call tomorrow, I will wait on you." "We observed," writes McClure, "we told Simon that the same reasons which prevented his payment of the order on that day would prevent our troubling him the day following, Sunday. Today is your Sabbath. Tomorrow is my Sabbath. You don't want to do business today? I understand, but we can't come tomorrow because tomorrow is our Sabbath." And I told him we would wait until Monday. At which point, Simon gets a little nervous. Between today and Monday, God knows what's going to happen to him. I'm going to lose the deal. He replied, "You are on a journey and it may be inconvenient to you to wait." He's not going to tell him that if I wait till Monday, you're going to go find somebody else, my competitor, to do business. So he says, "You know what? You're on a journey. It's not nice that I should make you to wait till Monday." He went to call in his neighbor, Dr. Boyd. This is a Christian missionary writing these words. He went to call in his neighbor, Dr. Boyd, and took from his desk a bag, laid it on the table, presented the order to the doctor. The doctor counted out all the money and we gave a receipt. The Jew sat looking on to see that all was rightly transacted, but said nothing, and thus quieted his conscience against the rebuke of a violation of his Sabbath. So what did he do, Joseph Simon? He called the neighbor. What's this called? The first Shabbos Goy in American Jewish history. And the Shabbos guy took care of it. And I'm thinking, what a tzaddik Joseph Simon is. There was no Jewish community. There was no rabbi. He's sitting alone in Lancaster, Pennsylvania in 1772. Nobody's going to walk by the window and see what he's doing. And he can't hold the money because it's Shabbos. And if he would have held the money, so he would have, "Yeah, I need the business of Panosa, Chveis." You know what heroism that is? Do you know what Mesiras Nefesh that is? You know what a commitment that speaks to? A Yidl fa-rikt, fa-shtipt, fa-vorfim in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, without a minyan, without a rabbi, without a yeshiva, without a cheder, with nothing. He's sitting by himself. And he will not be Mechal Shabbos. He won't touch the money. I'm telling you, straight to heaven, Joseph Simon. I should have such tchusim. And Lazer ben Leib was his secretary. So, shtol zechfar, that Lazer ben Leib is onto something with this Merry Tisha B'Av business. Something's going on here. I was totally taken by this letter. That's why I want to be Makir Tov to the rabbi who showed it to me. And I started to try to understand what's going on. Page 20. There's a very strange minhag. There's a very strange minhag that I discovered this year for the first time. Yosef Eimetz is a 17th century sefer written by Yosef Yusbahan Norlingen, who was head of the Besdin in Frankfurt, and who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Frankfurt. He was in Frankfurt, in Germany, in the days when Frankfurt was a real chashuva place. And he was from the Geheben Yidden in Frankfurt. And he wrote a minhag sefer called Yosef Ometz, describing the various minhagim that went on in Frankfurt, specifically focusing on Frankfurt. an Adam Gadol Ma'id. So he says first at the top of page 20, Osim ha'hulchim l'tiyul kol ayom b'tisha b'av b'nin olim usvurim shehuter adover achar chatzois bevadai achar she'ena misablim karo'i lo yisku l'nechama ki ein shum heter afilu achar arvis ad halayla. There's no heter to take off your shoes and to take off sneakers or to start wearing shoes after chatzos on Tisha B'Av. And those who go for walks on Tisha B'Av afternoon wearing shoes thinking that after chatzos is mutter, then doing the wrong thing. There's no such heter. Uladati minak tos azen ishtar beiv mi yeshiva la'aretz she'ein bochiyuv achar chatzos. It wasn't that long ago, maybe an hour and 20 minutes ago, when the lights went on and we had a whole shift in the shul, and you also, many of you sat down on a chair because yeshiva gabe karka does change after chatzos. So he's melamed tzchus. He thinks that they drew a gzereshava between sitting on a chair and wearing shoes, but that's a mistake. The only heter after chatzos, the only loosening after chatzos, is we don't have to have yeshiva ba'aretz. Ochen ha'inuyim l'chol tainis tzibur ein shum heter adalayl. That's his first problem with people who are going for walks wearing shoes after chatzos. Second problem, gam hatil ba'atzmo afilu yochef hu iser gadol b'tisha b'av. What, you going to take a walk? You going to take a walk on Tisha B'Av? V'kol shkein osam asochakim, and certainly those who kid around on Tisha B'Av. Shebevaday en zochem l'nachama. Rak yeshev bodod v'yidom. O yasok bekinos ubedvarim harom shebriyirmiya velo yosir ha'ev al milibo. Umisha yoshev kol ayom al gabe karko l'srefas besa lokenu yiske l'nechoma v'yosis itomasos v'cheno hakti kamashon. So you have to do the right thing. You can't be mesiach, that's in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you can't be mesiach das from the avelus. Can take a break, take a walk, hang out, kibitz a little. Terrible thing. Okay, Misha Yira Salukim Noga Bilavovo, Lo Yafsik Milukonein Biyamim Ha'ele, Achurban Besa Lokeno Vitefartenu Vigolos Hashchina. You notice it's not just the Yakonein, is not just for the Churban Beis Elokeinu, but it is, and the Rav made the point very often, even more so, and we'll come back to this, for Golos HaShechina. What's really upsetting is Golos HaShechina. What's less upsetting is Churban Beis HaMikdash. He mentions them both. Lo yafsik milakonein biyamim ha'ela al churban beis elokeinu v'tifartenu v'golos hashchina nafla ateres roshenu v'ayinu lebusho l'chlima l'lag v'kelas bein ha'umos. That's what's at issue. The issue is not only churban beis hamikdash. The issue is golos shchina. The issue is ha'yinu l'lag v'kelas. To go back to the beginning of the kinos, schi umaos hesimuni bedre chaveri. That's what we're mourning for today. How we're treated. How we're perceived of. Today, now. That's the issue. Or one of the issues. V'haraya. Im anachnu od hayom. Rab Yosef Yusbahan Norligan died in 1637. He died in 1637, Od Hayom, so it's 1630. I bring you a raya. V'araya, im anachnu Od Hayom, holchim berechovos kiryah shel nachrim. We walk in the street. Korim osanu klovim. You Jew dog, you. In the street. V'shar nevolos. And they call us other dirty words. V'zorkim osanu betitu b'avonim. They throw stones at us. You think it's a maaser from the first century of the Common Era? You think it's a maaser from some 70 CE? It's a maaser Frankfurt in the 1620s. Hayinu, hayinu, lebusha, lechlima, lelag, v'lakelas bein ha'amus. Elmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozer Lanu Mashgiach Aleinu B'chol Yom U'B'chol Eis U'B'chol Shah I Efshar Lanu Shenuchol Lamod Mipneim B'Golus Amar Azeh. We would be sunk. There's no way it's conceivable for us to continue to survive in this Golus without the fact that God is helping us. Ki Kayim Aleinu Tamid Hashem Hefir Atzaz Goyim. We always keep in front of us the promise that God will change the idea of the Gentiles. Ki yiftiach osanu lo yarpecho v'lo yashchisach. U'b'sefer derechaim kosav, eimosai mashgiach aleinu, when will God watch out for us and protect us? Im anachnu osim ritzono shomoko. Aval im anachnu hochim b'shvius libeinu, mipnei ma yashgiach aleinu. Adarabba v'adarabba. Hu yishlach aleinu gzeros ra'os. Al Kain. Now comes to the minig that I want you to notice. Al Kain roi levayer haminig arami kirbeinu. Therefore, we have to get rid of something horrible that's going on in Frankfurt, a dedua in our shtibul, in Frankfurt in the beginning of the 17th century. Osam hanaorim u'mishorsim. There's a custom among the kids and among the mishorsim, the helpers. Shezorkim u'makin echad l'chaveru. Umisamchim betishabov kiiluhu yamtiv besakneses shalana b'shasakinos. Something's going on in shul that they're throwing things at one another. They're throwing spitballs, achveis, what they're throwing at one another, throwing, and they're hitting one another. And zergelechter, it's a big fat joke. Umisamchim betishabov kiiluhu yamtiv. They're throwing things at each other, they're kibitzing, they're laughing, they're joking, hitting each other. During kinnis, in our shul, it's a horrible thing, we have to get rid of it. Umuto lashgiach al zeh, al chachmeu panasei ador, ligdor geder veliknos velilkos laosam poshim begufam. Gotta hit them, you gotta get rid of them, you gotta rub them out, gotta stop them, you gotta punish them, gotta curse them. You can't let this go by. Yadua, as is well known, if you can do something about it and you don't, so the rest of it is, you are responsible for the sin that was committed, so you better do something about it. So there is this minig in Frankfurt at the beginning of the 17th century. Something's going on in shul that clearly is going on for a while and is going on at a significant clip, that the denouement, the final crescendo of this whole musser about how you have to be misabel for churban HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be misabel for churban HaMikdash, for golas HaShechina, for lagul. So therefore, we gotta make sure we get rid of this minhag. Next source. Rabbi Chaim Michael Epstein lived in Germany in the second half, the next generation. He died in 1706, Rabbi Chaim Michael Epstein. He was a very well-known mechaber. He wrote something called the Kitzer Shla. The Shla we know, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, the Heilige Shla. So he took the Shla from the previous generations and he wrote a Kitzer of the Shla for people to have like a handbook. You walk around with the shla, the shla is too chalakim, you gotta carry, it's a shvera sefer, the shla. So the yidna are not gonna carry around the two volume shla, you can like get a, you know, you get a backache. So he wrote a kitzer shla, so people should have the shla, but the crunch down the shla. He also wrote a very famous parish on the Siddur called Siddur Derech Yishara. It was a very, very famous German Jew, second half of the 17th century. He died 1706. He was also quite controversial. And Rabbi Yaakov Emdin wrote more than once that he believed that the Kitzer Shla, Rabbi Chaim Michael Epstein, was a Sabbatian. That he was a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. And he tried to prove it from some of the writings of the Kitzer Shla. So, Salebedik. Tzitzach. He writes in the Kitzer Shla, he has a section on Hilchus Tishabov, in the Kitzer Shla. The Shla has a section on Tishabov. So the Kitzur Shlah is a section on Tisha B'Av. So he's Mekatzer from the Shlah. And then you notice there's a Haggah, bottom of page 20. This is now his interpolation into the Shlah. Al kein ra olai ha-maisa ba-yeshuvim u-ba-kfarim ha-chutzpos va-kalos rosh she-nasim b'tisha b'av b'beis ha-kneses ein lahem shir v'erech. I am horrified by the chutzpah and by the lightheadedness that's being done to no end in shul on Tisha B'av. And in fact, kol amar belasos chutzpos harezim mishubach. It's like a big deal. What do they do? Zorkim ze boze ba'avanim utzroros. They're throwing things at each other. Ve'ein echod moche biyodom. And nobody says anything. Va'alo yodua ech shehoye mi yehudim krach godol beitar tzadikim gemurim. That there was one city that was called Beitar. It was a great city, that there were a lot of great people who lived there. Skip four lines. Va'afilu hachi nergu. And even though they were great people, tzadikim gemurim, they were killed, mishum shelo hisablu al churban Yerushalayim, because they didn't mourn for Yerushalayim properly. For Amur Razal, mishelo misablu al churban Yerushalayim, eino zoche liros benachamas Yerushalayim. How could this be? That they're throwing little pebbles at each other and garnish, nobody says anything. Ubefrat bebeis haknese, shuhulonu lemikdash ma'at ba'golo samarase, eich yitoche. Lischok la'asos chutzpos bebeis haknesses layom sharoi l'isabel. Al kain, therefore, I demand kol parnas, o manhig, o gabay tzedaka, she'eino gozer b'knas l'tzedaka ha'osim schok v'kalos ros b'tishov beis haknesses heimo yitofsu ba'avonam. If you're not going to stop it, you're going to get punished. Al kein roi lashgiach al ze ma'od. So Rabbi Yosef Yusuf Ha-Nordligen and Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein are like apoplectic about a minig that's going on in shul, that people are throwing things at each other in Sigvarna Yamtiv. So there are two things. Number one is they're very upset. And number two, it's happening. Weiter. Top of page 21. Noe Katzon Yosef. We're now into the 18th century. Noe Katzon Yosef was written by Rabbi Yosef Yuspa Kasman, who published this sefer in Frankfurt, Nachamol Frankfurt, in 1718. We're now in the next generation. The Heilige, the Kitzur Shlah, Rabbi Chiel Michal Epstein, died in 1706. We're now in 1718. This book is published for the first time in 1718. He's got a section on Tisha B'Av in Frankfurt. Skip to the middle of the main section, Simen Zayin. He gives you the Seder HaYoim. He tells you what to do with Shachris, how you don't put on talis, you don't put on tefillin. The Shliach Tzibur Davins and says Onenu, and we don't say Tachnun, and there's Kriyas HaTorah, and then there's the Haf Torah, then we put away the Sefer Torah, and then we say the Kinnis. V'omrim Yehalalu, the line beginning a little more than halfway down, Allah Safsal. V'omrim Yehalalu, Machnisin HaSefer Torah Lahecho, V'omrim Kinos Vitzionim. The end of the Kinos, you remember there are a whole bunch of what we call Zionides. Tzion Alo Sishali is the most famous, there are about 10 of them. V'yoshvim ala karka, kol zman she'omrim kinos, v'korin oso b'bichia. Lo kemiktsas anoshim reikim, she'meirimim kolom b'simcha b'chol mine zemer, yisacher pihem, their mouth should be gagged, their mouth should be forced shut. V'has shelo lahaske, we shouldn't even mention this. That there are anoshim reikim, Miktas anoshim reikim shemeirimim kolam besimcha on Tisha B'Av in shul b'chol minei zemer ubemiktas mekomos smeichim bebeis haknesses umakim ze lo ze, they're hitting one another. Kore ani aleim v'atehi avon osam al atzmo osam tzepaskin yecheska lamed beis, that their sins should remain with them. Ukema'at shekol atfilo sheim mispalolim toeva, everything that they say is a toeva. Skip a few lines at the end. Mikolshkein, biyom tzora, v'tochacha, una'otza, hayom hazeh. Certainly, if they behave this way on today, a day, Tisha B'Av, a day of Tzara, Tocha, Na'atza means contempt, debasement. Shenutal kavod mi beis chayenu v'hayinu lemirmas. We were trampled. Kechomer v'tit chutzos. Certainly on this day. Shein roi la'adam shiyale shum machshava shel simcha b'ra'ayono v'lo yizocher v'lo yipake et shum schok v'kalas rosh rak kina mi bayale. A third source that something is going on in shul that some people are really upset about. All of the sources that we have are from people who are railing against this. Yosef Ometz, Kitzer Shla, Noye Katsun, they're beside themselves. But I'm interested in what's going on. How could it be? Could you imagine in this shul today, people start kibbutzing and throwing things in each other, making a galachter? It's just totally unheard of. It's outrageous. Everybody around you would kick you out. Everybody knows that it is insane. And here, generation after generation after generation, they're yelling about the same thing, and it's still going on. 20th century. Next source. Yecheskel Kutik was a Yiddish memoirist. He wrote in Yiddish. He died in 1921. So we're getting close. He wrote about his youth in Kamenetz. This is a Hebrew translation of the original Yiddish. He's talking about the Chassidim in Kamenetz. So he was born in 1847. So this is 1857, 1855. 1858. It's a young boy in Kamenetz. Hebrew translation. Tamir hoya lohem min asakim sheka ele shehoyu me'en yamtiv. There was, by chsidim is alamol given a yamtiv. Lozeh hoya yartzai shal rebbe echod, v'lozeh shal rebbe acher, v'hine yartzai shal Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, yartzai is a big deal with chsidim. Jinka lachayim, neshama shal have an aliyah. It's like a hisoyeris. Like, you know. So there's always, this one had a yartzeit for a Rebbe, this one had it for another Rebbe, v'hineh Chanukah, Rish Chodesh, Asar B'Teves, Arayin Gevor from Tu B'Shvat, Purim, Shushan Purim, Pesach, Lag Barim, Shavuos. The Tisha B'Av, Shavchu Deloyei Mayim, Mitachas Legarbei Amispalalim. They would take water and pour water on the socks. You're not wearing shoes in shul, so you're all walking around with socks. They take water and throw water on the floor so everybody gets their socks wet. Right. Big Alechter in Shul on Tisha B'Av. Hoyu mechinim beralach ko'ele. Beralach are little thorny, circular, fruity objects. It's like a marble that's a little soft, but has thorns coming out around it. She'im nidbeku lezakon, if it would get stuck to somebody's beard, hoya koshema od lahutziyam, because the thorns would get stuck in the beard. So what would they do? Chassidim asu es ze echad l'sheni. Haberalach histabchu b'sa'aros hazakan. V'kulam hispaku mitzchok. They're throwing beralach at the bearded gentleman in the shul. Everybody's laughing. Because they're trying to get it out, and they can't get it out because it's stuck. And it's painful. So it's a gevara negelachter. Achakach nogu l'lechis l'beis hakvaros. So you'd think they would become serious. Avosham godlu aberalach. That's where the beralach grew. They grew in the base of Rosh. Fang tzach shayna nachamo. Veshuv istabchu aberalach bezikonim. Vetisha bav hoya efo yom shal tzchok v'shashoy. This is very weird. And I'm thinking, have a happy, have a merry Tisha B'Av. In Lancaster in 1769. Turn to page 22. Page 22, we begin to have our first glimmer here. This comes from a Sefer Moadim that was printed in 1962. It's a multi-volume book that was printed in Tel Aviv. Each of the major Moadim get its own book, and he's got a section on the fast days, and he quotes this minug about regima becharulim, charulim adabaralach, and then he quotes from Rav Maimon. Rav Yehuda Leib HaKohen Maimon was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim of two generations ago. His family name was Fishman, and he changed his name to Maimon. Yehuda Leib HaKohen Maimon. He was a big, big, big Talmud Chacham, lived in Yerushalayim, wrote many, many Sfarim. So this Levinsky quotes from Rav Maimon. And here's where I'm beginning to start to crawl out to try to get some meaning from this. Yehuda Leib HaKohen Maimon Misaper, full paragraph, left side of the page. Dover Echad Hifli Osi. He's writing this. He published it in Hatzofer in 1953. Hatzofer is the newspaper of the Mizrahi, of the Zionist, religious Zionist of Mafdal. So on Tisha B'Av in 1953, he publishes this in the Hatzofer, in the newspaper. And he was reflecting on his childhood. And it was taken from there and put into here. So he's writing now in first person. Dover Echad Hifli Osi, Ki Dafke B'Sha. Shakol akol hayukar mesakinos mitoch yogon ve'evel. Hayu hayeladim ve'itam, not just yeladim. Gam rabim mibachurei beis hamedrash, even the yeshiva bachurim. Ulifa amim gam avreichim minachsidim, and sometimes even older young men. Oskim b'mase kunz. Kunz means a prank. It means mischief. While everybody's saying kinnis, they're doing a mischief. Ma'asvim kutzim ubarkanim. They take thorns and beralach. V'zorkim osam b'fneim shel kol ha'ne'asofim b'beis ha'knesses. Pa'am b'fonov shel ploni, pa'am b'zkeno, b'zikno shel almoni. They throw it at their face, they throw it in the beard. Ode v'lo evosh, b'hiyosi ben sheish sheva, hishtatafti gamani b'mischagzeh. You know what? I did it too when I was a little kid. But when I turned 9 years old, ukishayisi ben tesha timhesi, she'af echod min hakohol hamisabel, bohem rabbonim chashuvim, v'talmidei chachamim v'anshei maisa, einam mochim klal al kach. Nobody says anything. The little kids and the b'nei yeshiva and the avreichim are throwing beraluch, and Segevarna Galechter, and Gornish. Nobody says anything. And we're talking about Vayla Zisa Feine Gehoibin Hashayna Yidin. Nobody's saying anything. Umeinichem lina'orim lasos kiritzono. Ukishalti al kaches Abba, so I went home and I said, Tati, what's going on? Onoli, he said to me, She'ein ze klal minog porua. This is not a vilda minog. Vaha minog far poshat betfutzos Yisrael. This is going on in a lot of places. So now we're going back. Rav Maimon, Rav Maimon's father, his Rebbe was the Malbim. So he tells his son, his 9-year-old son, the Hesber, that his Rebbe, the Malbim, told him to justify this custom. That there's grounds for this. Ne'amar, kol ha'misabel al Yerushalayim zoche v'roa b'simchoso. Zoche v'roa, it says. It says in the present, b'loshen ha'iva. V'lo yiske v'yire, doesn't mean in the future. Kol ha'misabel al Yerushalayim now yiske at some point, but it means now, zoche v'roa. Ki chol ha'mesabel al Yerushalayim, hare be'etzem ha'evel, u'betoch tocho shel ha'yogon, hu zoche v'roa tekef b'simchos. It's not this follows that, but it's simultaneous. If you're mesabel, you're zoche now. B'shas, you're being mesabel. You're zoche tekef v'roa b'simchos. Ki ha'evel ba'atzmo machnes tikva b'levavos. Ki artzenu od toshuv l'techiya. The very Avel brings with it hope and consolation. The very Avel brings with it the expectation and the belief, ki artzenu od toshuv l'techiya, that this is going to come to an end, and someday, Mirtz Hashem, this should be the last Tisha B'Av, we should throw away the Kinnis book and we're done. V'lochein zakt the Malbin to the father of Reb Maimon to Reb Maimon. V'lochein anu menichim liyadladim ulina orim shalanu lehishtolel tzuhulyin. I don't know how to say lehishtolel in English. To carry on. To carry on. B'sha'a sakinos. We dafka let them do it. Not like the Yosef Eimetz Nebuch Severtem Finster in the Eugen and the Kitzer Schlag is beside himself and the Neue Katzen Yosef wants to run them out of the Jewish people. No. Other Rabbi, we let them do it. There is something positive. She Yovinu Ki Gam Be'ez Ha'Evel Yesh L'Kavos L'Simcha. So I'm starting to think about the dual nature of Tisha B'Av. The two sides of the same coin of Tisha B'Av. Like for my whole life, I'm sad. And all of a sudden, in Mitten Derinin, there's a proactive allowance of this custom, unlike the other sources, because we want to teach the kids a message. We want them to be happy today, because we want them to know that someday this is going to come to an end. Next source. The next cluster of sources comes from a medrash that I've shared with you in the past. It's an amazing formulation of the Chida. Pasuk says in Tehillim, we're now on the top of page 23. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vayatzeitz Eish B'tzion. Now, that's a Pasuk in Eicha. Says the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mizmer La'asaf Elokim Bo Goyim B'Nachal Asecha. Perek Ayin Tes Pasuk Aleph. So the Medrash in Eicha starts with, on the Pasuk of Vayatzeitz Eish B'tzion, that they set fire to the Beis HaMikdash. In order to explain this pasuk, the Medrash starts with the pasuk in Tehillim. Mizmer Le'asaf Elokim Bo Goyim B'Nachal Asecha. Zot the Medrash Lohoya Kra Tzarech Lameimar Ela Bechila Asaf Nehila Asaf Kina La'asaf Uma Omer Mizmer La'asaf. It's very strange. What is a Mizmer? How do you translate the word Mizmer? A Zemer. What do you translate Zemer? It's a song. Mizmor la'asaf, Elokim bo goyim b'nachal asecha. Mizmor, Elokim bo goyim b'nachal asecha. Are you out of your mind? It's a mizmor. Kina la'asaf, bechila asaf, nehila asaf, Elokim bo goyim b'nachal asecha. What do you mean mizmor la'asaf? Elamashal la'melech she'asa beis chupa l'bno. You have the English on the left side, so you can read it in English if you want. V'siyada, v'chira, v'tzira, I made him a beautiful beis chuppah. What happened? V'yotze b'no l'tarbas ra'a. So he's not worthy anymore of having such a beautiful home. Mi'ad Allah ha'melech l'chuppah v'kara es ha'vilaos v'shibar es ha'konim. He smashed the house. V'not al pedagog shelo. We've actually taken this Greek word into English, and it's also here in the Medrash, his teacher. So as soon as the house is destroyed, the teacher of the student takes Ibuv Shelkanim Vahaya Mizamer. He starts to play an instrument. Amrilosa, they say to him, how could you do this? Hamela Chofa Chupaso Shelbino Vaat Yoshevu Mizamer? What are you happy about? The king just destroyed your student's house. Amrilahem Mizamer Ani Shehafa Chupaso Shelbino Velo Shofa Chamaso Albino. That what the king did was that he destroyed the house. He didn't destroy the kid. He destroyed the chuppah of the beno. But he wasn't shafar chamaso al beno. Because by all rights, the beno should have been the victim of the father's wrath. But he vented his wrath on the house and not on the kid. Kach amru la'asaf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichriv heichal u'mikdash. Va'ata Yoshev u'mezamer, it's a mizmar la'asaf. Amar lohem, mizamer ani, Every year the Rav would quote this, every single year without fail. Mezamer ani she'shafach HaKadosh Baruch Hu chamaso al ha'etzim v'yalo avonim v'lo shafach chamaso al Yisrael. So it's amazing. So it's a Mizmor L'Asaf. Mizmor L'Asaf! God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The fact that God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash is a Mizmor. Because it beats the alternative. It beats the logical, appropriate alternative. Shafach HaMasa L'Etzim HaLavan V'la Shafach HaMasa Yisrael. This is found in a Tosfos in Kedushin. And I want to mention Le'ilu Nishmaso. I had a friend, Sam Schechter, who lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, who was Nifter a couple of weeks ago. And it was Sam, his Neshama Shel Heaven Aliyah, who many, many years ago showed me this Tosfos. Tosfos in Kedushin, Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, underlined the end of the third line, Mizmor La'asaf. Kina lo asaf mi boyele. Vidarash, Sha'amar asaf shira, al shakila kodosh baruchu chamaso aloetzim vialo avonim shebebeso, umitoch kach, hosir plato mi Yisrael. The Jews were spared. She'el molekach, because had he not destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, lo nishtayer mi sone Yisrael soredu polad. It's a euphemism. It doesn't mean sone Yisrael. It means what he doesn't want to say it means. It means, God forbid, nothing would have been left. So one year after Tisha B'Av, when I was talking to Sam, and I told him that I found this Medrash, the Rav always quoted the Medrash, he said, what's the Mitzvah B'Ferish HaTosfos? And he showed me the Tosfos in Kedusha. I taught this a couple of weeks ago. YU runs a number of kolalim across the country during the summer. One of the many wonderful things that we do. And it's an amazing thing. Young men and women, they're women kolalim, who take off a chunk of time in the summer to learn. And it's serious learning. So we had a kolel here in Teaneck. We had a young men's kolel that was actually met here in the shul, and we had a young woman's kolel that met in Rina. So every week, I understand, they would get together for lunch and they'd have a guest speaker. So the boys would sit in this table, the girls would sit in this table, and the guest speaker would come. So I was the guest speaker a few weeks ago. I quoted this Gemara, and Rabbi Eli Michel is the Rosh Kolel of the boys' Kolel. So he showed me the following Yalkut Shimoni. So I want to give him credit. I never saw this Yalkut Shimoni, and I Xeroxed it for you at the bottom of page 23. After this year, he came over to me, and he said, it's an amazing Yalkut Shimoni that fits right in. Yalkut Shimoni here at the bottom of page 23 in Shmuel Beis, Kuf Mem Hei, talks about a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech. And David HaMelech is very perturbed about the fact that he was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'atah tivne li bayis uchsiv lo tivne bayis l'shmi kidomim rabim shafachta. So we all know the standard explanation that David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because he shed blood, a lot of blood. Kivin sheshama David kach nisyore v'omer. Omar, harei nifsalti mi livnos Beis HaMikdash. It's a terrible thing. So now I'm puzzled. Omar b'yudah b'rabi le omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu David al tira. Chayecha ki heim lifonai kitzvi v'cho ayo. Or davaracher, two lines later, heim lifonai ke korbanos. What you did is like you—it's like you brought korbanos. So don't feel bad that you didn't build a Beis HaMikdash, but you got credit. It's like you brought korbanos. It's like there was a Beis HaMikdash. Amalo v'imkein lama eni bone also. I still don't get it, says David HaMelech to the Rabbanu Shalom. Why don't you let me build a Beis HaMikdash? So if you're telling me that what I did is like Harbano, so let me have the real thing. If you're telling me that I'm not disqualified because whatever I did is credited as if I brought a carbon, so that means I brought a carbon, so let me bring a carbon. Listen to this. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'im ato bone oso, hu kayam ve'eno charef. Because if you would build a Beis HaMikdash, it would never be destroyed. So David says the most logical thing to him. Amar lo v'hare yafa. Hey God, isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, it's not a good thing. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, golui v'tzofui lefanai. Shehem asidim lachto. Your children, Klal Yisrael, are going to someday sin. Va'ani mefig chamosi bo umacharivo v'hem nitzolin. And I'm going to vent my anger on the Beis HaMikdash and it's going to be destroyed. And as a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people will continue. If you build a Beis HaMikdash, I won't be able to destroy it. If I'm not able to destroy it, Rachmana Litzlan. It's a bad thing. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's a mamish, it's a meridika. Yalkut Shimoni, I thank Rabbi Michelle. It's an meridika. You can't build it, because if you build it, it will stay forever. And if it stays forever, it's bad news for the Jews. It has to be destroyed in order for the Jewish people to continue. That's this medrash. It's all one, it's all cut of the same cloth. Kumsegein Dechida, page 25. So far already, it's astounding. You remember what I'm trying to do in this shiur is I'm trying to understand the other side of Tisha B'Av, a side that I never really was in touch with. The side that was sort of hit me over the head with Have a Merry Tisha B'Av in Lancaster, Selik Menachem Cup. I was just flabbergasted by that, and it got me thinking. Zok Tehelig Yechida. The Chida asks a question. It's a very powerful question. If you look on page 24, and we're not going to look on page 24, but I zeresh the Gemara on page 24 that essentially says that there's a stir in the Psukim between when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Churban Bayis Rishon. One Pasuk says it was on the 7th. One Pasuk says it was on the 10th. We learned this Gemara carefully many times before. Akitzur, the Gemara answers that it was on the 7th when they finally got onto Har HaBayis and they fought on Har HaBayis and it was only B'chi Samuch L'chashecha Hitzisu Bo Esor. It was only in the night, on the 9th in the afternoon when they set fire to it. Vayaholech V'dole Kol Hayom Kulo, and it continued to burn the whole day of the 10th. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ilu Ayisi Ba'oso Hador Lo kavate velo ba'asirim, ibnei sharubo shel heichal bo nisraf. As I state in Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan said, I would add Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av, because that's when most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. When did it start burning? It only started burning, it's like now 3 o'clock, it wasn't burning yet. We're sitting here from 9:30, we're sitting here, Shachris, we sat on the floor last night, and it wasn't burning yet. It starts burning today, Tisha B'Av later, samuch l'chashecha, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, late in the afternoon it started to burn. V'rabanan, so why do we have Taka Tisha B'Av today if it wasn't burning yet? Aschalta de Puranusa Adifa. It started to burn on Tisha B'Av. So the Rav asked, almost every year, so why is it that Dafka, after Chatzos, on Tisha B'Av, things get a little bit easier? So we saw the Yosef Ometz that went crazy about wearing shoes. So you're not allowed to wear shoes, but things do get easier. You do sit up on a chair. You do have the ability to prepare the Suda for the night. You are, men do put on talis and tefillin. We do invoke a tefillah, it's a machlekes rishonim, but we paskin, that we say this tefillah only at Mencha and Tisha B'Av, not Ma'ariv and Shachris. We do say Nachem only on Mincha. It does, it's a little leichter. Why should you be sitting on chairs now? Other rabbi, if you're sitting on the floor until now, you should crawl under the floor. That's now first when the Beis HaMikdash started burning. How could it get easier? Why and now, Mishpreit Zachos, you're sitting on a chair, a grace of knacker. All of a sudden you can sit on, Chatzos, okay, lights go on, sitting on a chair, we could be comfortable. What are you talking about comfortable? It's worse now. It's even more uncomfortable now. So the answer is this medrash, because the Rav pointed out a very graphic way. He said the whole day of Tisha B'Av there's an argument in the Pamal Yishal Maila, and the Jewish people are panic stricken. They don't know what's going to be. They know that something has to give. They don't know if it's going to be the Beis HaMikdash or if it's going to be them. And they're fighting about it in the heavenly courts. And there are those who are being mekatrik for Klal Yisrael and says, God, you got to go after them. They misbehaved, you got to punish them, you got to go after them. And there are others saying, no, you can't, you have to wrath over them, you can punish them, but you can't destroy them. As soon as the Beis HaMikdash is set afire, it's a gevar and glinger in the hearts, because they realized, Shafach HaMasa Aleitzim Alavonim V'lo Shafach HaMasa Al Yisrael. They realized that at that moment they would be spared. And so therefore, said the Rav, that's Masbir, why things get easier. That's the Chidah on page 25, with one shocking addition. Zok de Chidah, V'nosen Tam Leminog, the last paragraph on the right side of page 25, V'nosen Tam Leminog, K'moshe Kosafti Le'el, D'Keshe Yisroel Ro'u, D'Betishabav Ba'erev Hitzitzu Eish Behechol, Amru, Mizmor, She'Shofach HaMaso Aleitzim V'Avonim, the next three words, V'samchu Simcha Gedola. V'ilav hachi lo hayachas v'sholom tekuma v'oz kiblu nechama. Simcha Gedola. When the Beis HaMikdash is burning, is Simcha Gedola. I don't think it gets more ironic or, I don't know, maybe shocking than that. So I had known this medrash, the Rav quoted it, it was the first time I heard it, was when I was sitting at his feet in the 70s, 73, 74, it's a long time ago. He quoted the medrash, and I started to try to understand that the Churban Beis HaMikdash is a mizmor, just the medrash itself. Mizmor la'asaf elokim bo'ogoy menach la'asach akinu la'asaf, nehi la'asaf, b'chi la'asaf. No, it is a mizmor. Because Shafach HaMasa Aleitzim V'Alvanim V'Nad on Yisrael. So I had enough trouble assimilating that the Churban Beis HaMikdash is a mizmor, and now comes again the Chidah, V'samchu Simcha Gedola, not just V'samchu, that would have been enough for me, V'samchu, not just V'samchu Simcha, that would have surely been enough for me, V'samchu Simcha Gedola. Because there is this other piece. Something is going on. It's not all bleak. You remember what the Malbim told Rav Maimon's father. We got to let the kids play around a little bit so that they should be in touch with. We're going to get out of here. We're going to crawl out of this. There's going to be some simcha. Emet Hashem. Third point. Left side of page 25. Is the issue of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. The issue of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av is a massive issue. It is a very complex conversation. The relationship between our study of Torah today and Rachmana Litzlan, the case of Avelus Chadosha, about an Avel learning Torah. The issue of what can one learn, what can one not learn. We know the Gemara says that we're not allowed to learn Torah, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim, what are the next two words? Misam Chelev. However, Dvarim Horoim we are allowed to learn. Whatever we can learn, are we allowed to learn Bi'iyun? Are we allowed to learn Bi'iyun like we're doing now, we're learning Bi'iyun? What about Hirhur? What about Hirhur Torah? What about paskening? Somebody asks you a shayla, a lot of paskin on an issue that's unrelated to Tisha B'Av. There's a very, very large literature on this subject. One of the things that we do is we publish a to-go series at YU, and the Tisha B'Av to go, the current Tisha B'Av to go, has an article by Rabbi Josh Flug on this subject, a small article where he deals with a lot of the issues that I raised. Rav Soloveitchik had a very liberal perspective on the study of Tisha B'Av, Torah on Tisha B'Av. And essentially, he was all over the place. He was all over the place. And essentially, what I do in the sources that I use, even though I try to have them apply to Tisha B'Av, it's not just, I'm not learning a Sugya B'Av Metziah, but I range widely, and I range widely, and I allow myself to do that because of Maaseh Rav. I want to pick up only on one piece of the discussion that's relevant, that I want to come back to for this year, and that is the issue of the intersection of Simcha and Avelus. Here's the Chakira. The Gemara says, we're not allowed to study Torah on Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av is, because the Torah is Pekudei Hashem Rishon Sam Chelev. Aval Korehu Be'iyov U'Bedvarim Haram Shebi'Yirmiya. Question. Why am I allowed to learn Dvarim Haram on Tisha B'Av? You told me I'm not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av because Pekudei Hashem Rishon Sam Chelev. But Dvarim Haraim, I am allowed to learn. Why am I allowed to learn Dvarim Haraim? You just told me that I'm allowed to learn Torah, because Pekudei Hashem Rishon Sam Chelev. So one side of the Chakira is, because Dvarim Haraim are not Mesamchim. Because when I learn Eov, and Dvarim Haraim Shebi Yirmiya, and the Mefarshim Ed, the Gemara and Hanizokin, and Medrash Eicha, like we were learning in the Kinnis, this is depressing. So the Isser is because Torah makes me happy. This Torah doesn't make me happy. That's one side of the Chakira. The other side of the Chakira is that even though Pekudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chelev, bar none, and that Talmud Torah is a Cheftza Shel Simcha no matter what, but nevertheless, I'm still allowed to learn Dvarim Haraim Shebi Yirmiya. I'm allowed to learn Dvarim Haraim even though it brings me Simcha because I have to. Because how else am I going to get in touch with the sentiment of the day? I have to learn it. But you can tell me I should shut down, not learn anything? I'll never experience Tisha B'Av. So even though it's Mesamche Lev, there's like a matir to learn Dvarim Haraim. So once again, is the heter for Dvarim Haraim, not just the heter, but the mechayev, is it because Dvarim Haraim, by definition, by content, by subject matter, are not Mesamche Lev because it's depressing? Or, even though it's Mesamche Lev, I still have to learn it. Left side of page 25. So the OU for a long time used to publish a journal called Mesora, and the purpose of the journal called Mesora, the first whole bunch of pages were Divrei Torah from the Rav, and then there were articles in the back that mostly had to do with kashrus issues. So in Mesora Vav, in the sixth issue of Mesora, 1992, there's a little entry from the Torah of the Rav on the Inyan Isser Talmud Torah B'Tisha B'Av. So he quotes the halacha, and on the left side of page 25, Baruch Chaim Simen Tov Kuf Nun Dalet Zif Aleph Asur Likros B'Tanach V'Lishnos B'Mishnu B'Medrashu B'Gemara B'Alochas V'Agodos M'Shum Shenemer P'Kudei Yisher M'Shar M'Sam Chilev. Says Rabbi Soloveitcher, the Limud Torah ba'atzmuso, in the fourth from the bottom line in the next paragraph, hu ma'isa shel simcha al pidin, the mesamche lev ksiv bahu. Torah by definition is a source of simcha. And it is. Torah, the study of Torah, is a source of simcha. He says, just like marriage, and I'm not sure exactly what he means here, u'kamoshen isu and humaisa shel simcha al pidin, afilu b'mikra she'ein mesangim, even when you're not happy, you're happy. I don't know exactly what he means. I mean, I don't know the case he's referring to. Even on those cases when you get married and you're not happy, you're happy. Because me'ikar adin, there's a chalois cheftza shel simcha in the maisa nisuin. Kamokein, the Talmud Torah, de mahave maisa shel simcha al pidin. It's a chalois shem simcha. That's what it is. You may not be happy. The context here is talking about the kids in school, the cheder kids, and the melamed for the cheder kids. So Baruch Hashem, God was good to you, and you became a Malamed, and you have nine-year-olds, and they're throwing spitballs, and they're making your life miserable, and you're tearing your beard out without the Beruluch. And you think you're happy teaching them Torah? You can't wait? The answer is you're happy, because Pikudei Hashem Yisarim Mesam Chelev. Ela de Lefizeh Kosha Frek de Rav, if that's the case, Heich Mutu Lumo Dvarim Haroim. So how can I learn Dvarim Haroim on Tisha B'Av? Hello, gam bohem yesh mitzvahs Talmud Torah, hamahava al pidin, maisa shel simcha. So one answer is, what are you going to tell me? It's not misameach? I just told you it is misameach. I just told you that, to borrow Rabbi Soloveitchik's terminology, willy-nilly, Talmud Torah is misameach. That's it. You can't get around it. So how can I learn Dvarim Haroim? In that same Simen Tovkuf Nun Dalet, the Mutar Likros Kol Seder Hayom Upashas Hakarbonos Umishnas Ezeu Mekomon Umidrash Rabbi Yishmael. How could we have said so much of what we said this morning? How could we say Parshas Hakarbonos? How could we say Ezeu Mekomon? How could we say Midrash Rabbi Yishmael? How could we say Kriyishma today? How could we have said Kriyishma today? Kriyishma's Torah. You just told me I'm not allowed to study Torah. I'm not allowed of likros b'tanach. So how could I have been kari b'tanach? We all were kari b'tanach this morning. We violated the stricture of the Shulchan Aruch. V'ayin sham b'bir agrosh evi raya lozeh. Mehodah karen kriyishma. Kriyas HaTorah. How can we have Kriyas HaTorah today? We had a Kriyas HaTorah this morning. We read from Navi. What are you doing? What are you reading? Kriyas HaTorah. What are you doing? Torah. You can't read that. It's not Dvar Maharaim Shebi Yirmiya. It's not Eov. Zok de Gra. That the reason is, the Seder Hayom have a heter miyuchad. Hoelu mitzvaso bekach. It's part of the ritual of the day. It's the Seder Hayom. So whatever is part of the ritual of the day, you go ahead and you do. It's not like I'm pulling a Sefer Dvarim out of the shelf and I'm opening it up to read. But the Korbanos, and Kriyashma, and the Laning, it's part of the Seder Ayom. Whatever is part of the Seder Ayom, we go ahead and read. Even though it's Misameach. Because by definition, it's Misameach. Torah, Talmud Torah is Misameach. Umeyato Nirali, Zokterav, the Isa B'Gemar Megillah, the very end of Megillah, the Gemara says, the Moshe Tikan Lam Yisrael Lumo Duchos Pesach B'Pesach Uchot Zatzeres Ba'atzeres Vilhos Chag B'Chag. That there's a special halacha that when we observe Pesach, we should know what Pesach is all about. When we observe Shavuos, we should know what Shavuos is all about. So there's a halacha to learn about Pesach on Pesach. I'm not a robot. I'm not a monkey. I'm just not going through the motions. I want to understand what I'm doing. So I'm allowed and I'm obligated on that Yom Tov to learn about the Yom Tov. So it enhances my appreciation and understanding of the Yom Tov. Umeyato nira lomer, says the Rav. The Dvarim Haroim Heim Ha'inyona D'Yoma D'Tisha B'Av. Just like I learned Nuchas Pesach on Pesach, I have to learn the Dvarim Haroim of Tisha B'Av on Tisha B'Av. V'lo rak shemutar l'lmod Dvarim Haroim b'Tisha B'Av. Ela shekiyum huzeh, u'misidro shel yom heim, u'kamo kriyas ha-Torah. Ve'enam tachas ha-iser simcha kol ikr. What does the Rav say? What do I want to extract from this? That there are Tzvei Dinim in Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. Once again, we now have a third example of a simultaneous coexistence of Avelus and Simcha. We can't get around the fact that when we're studying what we're doing right now is an act of Simcha. Talmud Torah is Simcha. That's it. Nevertheless, von deswegen, we have to do it on Tisha B'Av. It's optional for us to do on Tisha B'Av, but we have to do it on Tisha B'Av so that we can understand and appreciate what Tisha B'Av is all about. So it's not the first side of the Chakira which says, no, it's not Simcha. It's not Simcha. It's depressing. It's not Simcha. This is not Nichlal in the Pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chalev. That's not what it is. No, it is Simcha, but we're doing it anyway. So at the same time, as I'm speaking, I'm doing a kiyum of the Seder Ayyim of Tisha B'Av, which is Avelus and Churbin, and I'm doing an act of Simcha at the same time. when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Samchu Simcha Gedola. When they throw the Beralach on Tisha B'Av during the Kinnis in the Shul, Zok the Malbim, they're reminding themselves, Zoche V'Ro'e B'Loshen Hoive. Now I can be happy, because I know it's going to come to an end. Page 26, fourth example. Strange halacha. Strange halacha. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, top right, page 26, Simen Tovkuf Nuntes Se'iv Dalet. Ein Omerim Tachnon, we don't say Tachnon on Tisha B'Av, Velo Slichos, B'Tisha B'Av. Ve'ein Oflim Al Peneihem, Mishum D'Mikrei Moed. Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. What's a Moed? Ele Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh. It's a Moed. What's a Moed? A holiday. It's a holiday. You don't say Tachnan on a holiday. You don't say Slichas on a holiday. You don't say Avinu Malkeinu. It's a holiday. It's a Moed. Tisha B'Av is a Moed. You hear? Tisha B'Av is a Moed. I bet you never knew that Tisha B'Av is a holiday. It's a Moed. Zok the Tur, on the left-hand side, the same Simen Tovkuf Nuntes. V'imchal Tisha B'Av B'Shabbos. The Tur goes through the whole Seder Ayom. It's about 10 lines down. The line beginning, V'ein Nosnim Shalom. V'imchal Tisha B'Av B'Shabbos, O B'Moed Tzoy Shabbos, En Omrim Tzitkos Chod Tzedek. Midi Dehave Arosh Chodesh Shechal B'Shabbos. Just like Rosh Chodesh fell on Shabbos. She'en Omrim Tzitkos Chod Tzedek B'Shabbos. The Tisha B'Av Nami Ikra Moed. It's like a Rosh Chodesh, like a Yom Tiv. This is not some favorfana, fakrochana, you know, like way out medrash that was discovered in a manuscript 5 years ago in the Gniza. It's a beferish halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. That Tisha B'Av is a holiday. It's like Rosh Chodesh. You don't say Tzitkos Chatzedek. You don't say Slichas, you don't say Vino Malkeinu, you don't say Tachmon. It's a holiday. Where is Tisha B'Av? How do you know Tisha B'Av is a holiday? It's a Beferish Pasuk in Eicha. Zok the Chai Adam, among many others, and I just quoted from the Chai Adam at the bottom of page 26. Ein Omrim Tachnon B'Tisha B'Av Dikrei Moed Kidachsiv Eicha Aleph. Pasuk Tezvav Kara Olai Moed Lishbor Bachurai. Tisha B'Av is a Moed. Tisha B'Av is a Moed. Look on the top left of page 28. The Aruch HaShulchan. What does it mean, Tisha B'Av is a holiday? Last I checked, Tisha B'Av is not a holiday. Last I checked, I'm sitting on a low chair and I'm extending myself in an uncomfortable situation and not having eaten, none of us having eaten. Last I checked, this is not called a holiday. We're not doing holiday things. What does it mean? It's a moed. And it has an afkamina la'aloch. It affects our davening. It's a holiday davening. It's a holiday davening. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, top left, page 28, the end of Simen Tovkuf Nun Beis, Ein Omrim Tachnun B'Mincha already Be'erev Tisha B'Av. Not only on Tisha B'Av, but already yesterday afternoon we didn't say Tachnun. Mishum De'ikrei Moed. V'chein Ein Omrim Tzitkos HaTzedek B'Mincha Shabbos Erev Tisha B'Av. V'chein B'Tisha B'Av V'atzmo Kein. V'ho Inyan. Time to underline. What does it mean, Tisha B'Av is a Moed? V'inyon hu l'simin ki anu muftachim b'Hashem Yisbarach, sha'od yishafchu hayamim ho'ele l'moadim v'simcha v'yamim tovim. It's a holiday, because it's going to be a holiday. So I act now, holiday-like. I don't say this, I don't say this, I don't say this, I don't say things that I normally don't say on a holiday. Now already, I act moed-like? Because the Eibishter Zal Helfen, od yishafchu hayamim ho'ele lemoadim v'simcha v'yamim tov. So I am sort of jumping the gun. I'm already acting moed-like before it's a moed, because it's going to be a moed. So it's fascinating when you think about this. This is Yena Malbim, why the kids were allowed to hulya. Because it's going to be a moed. So it's Zoche V'roeh now already. There's something going on today in the Cheftza Chalois Tisha B'Av that has this whole other piece associated with it. Next example. So last night, if your family was like my family, we had two meals. Not last night, Chas V'Shalom. Yesterday, late afternoon, we had two meals. We had supper, and then we took a break, and then we washed, and we had a Suda Mafseka, sat on the floor, took a piece of paper, put a match to the paper, burned it, got ashes, take a hot egg, dipped it in the ashes, piece of bread, sat down on the floor, benched. The first of the two meals last night was, Baruch Hashem, a gohei ben a meal. It was a gohei ben a meal, multi-course meal last night, in the afternoon. Zok de Ramah, Paskin de Ramah, in the middle of page 28, Simin Tovkuf Nun Dei Se'iv Tes. Uminig b'chol galilos Ashkenaz. Le'achol se'uda kivua kodem mincha, v'achar kach mispala le'mincha, v'ochlim se'uda mafsekes. So we have two meals. We have a gohei ben a meal. We have a su'uda kivua, mincha, and then the su'uda mafsakis. V'noagim laharbos k'tsas b'su'uda rishona, k'dei shelo yazik lohem atainis. So there's actually an inyan to have a gezinta gohei ben a first meal. So you should tank up. You should fill up, so you should be able to make it through Tisha B'Av. Shelo yazik lohem atainis. Azoy zok de Ramah. It's very practical. It's very realistic. You shouldn't go fasting on an empty stomach, so fill up the stomach. The Suda Mafsekas can't be that. The Suda Mafsekas is very limited, but the pre-Suda Mafsekas should be a Suda Kavua, like the Ramah says. Disagrees the Magen Avraham. Zok de Magen Avraham, Sivkotin Yud Aleph, Vali Nira Tam Acher. The reason that the Ramah gives why we should have a big meal is so that we should practically be fortified to get through Tisha B'Av. Zok de Magen Avraham v'lini matam acher mipnei shebizman b'yisheni hoya yamtiv Tisha B'Av v'hoya marbin b'su'uda. It's a big, 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 huge discussion about did they do Tisha B'Av during, after the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Magen Avraham, for whatever reason, assumes that they did. So even Bishas, Beis HaMikdash Bibinyana, they still had Tisha B'Av. Mipnei Shebizman Beis HaMikdash Hoya Yomtif Tisha B'Av V'Hoya Marbin B'Seuda. What did they do? They did not observe Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av wasn't Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av was a Yomtif. There are many, including the Rambam, who said that they did do Tisha B'Av during Bayisheni. He assumes that they did not do Tisha B'Av during Bayisheni. It's a whole discussion based off the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Therefore, since Bizman Bayisheni, Tisha B'Av was Mamashi Yamtiv, they ate on Tisha B'Av, they were Marbin Besuda, Af Achshav Lo Zozu Mimeno Lihios Lezikaron Shehafech Pimher B'Yamenu L'Sosun L'Simcha. So even though now there is no Beis HaMikdash, we're now post second Churban, we're going to eat. What's the kiyum? What's the rationale of the eating? We should remember it's a yomtiv. It's going to be a yomtiv. So I can't eat today. I'm not going to eat today. So I'm going to eat yesterday. So right before the fast, I'm eating a gezunte meal. Because it's an expression of Simchas Yomtiv. It reminds me of the whole discussion about the mitzvah of Achila and Erev Yom Kippur. Why do we have this? A special mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah saseh to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rush says, to tank up. The Rush says to tank up, because you're going to fast Yom Kippur, you got to have kayach. Zokter Rabbeinu Yonin, the Shari Tshuva, no. Because be'etzem Yom Kippur is a yomtiv. And because it's a yomtiv, so Simchas Yomtiv is Mechayev Vachila. Ela Vazden, I can't. V'nisim es nafshar sechem, I can't eat. So when am I Mechayim, the Simchas Yomtiv of Yom Kippur, through Achila, on Erev Yom Kippur? It's the same thing here, says the Magen Avraham. Tushteling Yene Rabbeinu Yonin to this Magen Avraham, that I'm eating an Erev Yom Kippur, an Erev Tisha B'Av, not to fortify myself, like the Ramah says, V'li Nira Tam Acher. I have a whole different take, as an expression of my joy. Because someday, today is going to be a Yom Tiv, so I'm gearing up. I'm already joyous. So last night, yesterday afternoon, when we're gearing up, and it's getting somber, and we're feeling in a lousy mood, and we know Tisha B'Av is coming, and we ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, we should have kayach durchzumachen, we should be meaningful, and we shouldn't get a headache, and we shouldn't have to lie in bed and be in agony, and we should make something out of this Tisha B'Av, and we're all depressed. We're eating, because Lios Lizikaron Sheyehafech Bimheir Biyamein Olesasun Olesamach. And the Magen Avraham quotes a Beis Yosef. Ayin be Beis Yosef, Soif Simen, Tovkof Nundalot. So on page 29, we have the Beis Yosef, and Soif Simen, Tovkof Nundalot. It's a Meridika Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says, he picks up on the tour, the second line on the page in the tour, at the end of Simen, Tovkof Nundalot, the second line, Rav Gamliel Leimer, the Torah quotes a Gemara, the top of page 29, Kol ha'osim alacha b'tisha b'av, eino roa simin bracha li'olam. V'chol ha'ochel v'shosa b'tisha b'av, eino roa b'simcha shel Yerushalayim. V'chol ha'misabel al Yerushalayim, here's it again in the Lashon present, hove, zoche v'roe b'simchas. Zokta b'es Yosef, Dibra Maschel, Rav Gamliel Leimer, Kol ha'osim alacha b'tisha b'av, eino roa simin bracha li'olam. Ad sof ha'simin. Because of Harosh B'tshuva, skip a few lines after the two dots in the Beis Yosef. Because of Harosh B'tshuva, Shesha Alta, the Heilige Rosh, Hashem Yipiv Anuchayim. Here's the question. Somebody asked the Rosh a question. The Rosh died in 1327 in Toledo, in Spain. 1327. He was born in Ashkenaz. He was a Talmud of the Marami Rutenberg. And he had his whole Yanika, his whole Mesorah, his whole learning was Ashkenaz. And then the Rindfleisch massacre comes in Germany at the end of the 13th century. And he has to run away. And he valgered all the way from Germany into France, and from France to southern France, and from southern France over the Pyrenees. And he comes to Spain. And pretty close to France in Spain is Barcelona. Barcelona's northeast Spain, very close to France. At that time, in Barcelona, the chief rabbi was the Rashba, the Heilige Rashba. The Rashba is the chief rabbi in Barcelona, and he begs the Rush to stay. We have in the Tshuvas HaRush exchanges between the Rush and the Rashba. We have in the Tshuvas of the Rashba exchanges between the Rashba and the Rush. They were old-time conversants. They already had many durchge arbetesugyas between the two of them. And now the Rashba sees the Rush, falls into his community. He was beside himself with joy. He wanted him to stay and have a chavrusa. And the Rush stayed for a while, and then he left, and he went from Barcelona down to Toledo. He came to Toledo 1305. He stayed till 1327 when he was Nifter, his chief rabbi in Toledo in Spain. Zokta Rush, quoted in the Beis Yosef, Umasha Sha'alta, Im betishabav min amincha lemailo samach lemincha ktana im yachal adam lirchotz panav yada v'raglav lehakar. I amrinan mitzas hayayim kekulo kivin dahava avelos yishana. It's a very interesting question. By avelos chadasha, there's a mitzas hayayim kekulo, so the last day of Shiva, you know, you give a futch much in the morning and you daven shachris and then by 8:15 you're out of here. You walk around the block and shine. It's the seventh day of Shiva. Shiva's supposed to be for 7 days and I got 9 hours to go, if not 14. No, mixas hayom kukulo. The shaila is, do we say mixas hayom kukulo by avelus yishana? Do we say mixas hayom kukulo by Tisha B'Av? You know, in a way, you know, what kind of cop-out is that? The morning, by 8:30, we're done. Yeah, okay, done with Tisha B'Av. So the issue is not done with Tisha B'Av. The kasha wasn't with regard to the tainis. The kasha was with regard to lirchotz panav yada v'raglav lahakar. Emfer to rush, chalila v'chas, elakol ayom aser, chas v'shal. We saw already in the Yosef Ometz that people want to be matir wearing shoes because you can sit on a chair, so you can be matir wearing shoes, so you're going to be matir. But richitza panav yada v'raglav, forget about it. No such thing as mikzas hayom kukulo when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Chalila v'chas. V'chas of HaKolbo, continues the Beis Yosef. This is, remember, we got to this Beis Yosef because the Magen Avraham, in disagreement with the Ramah about the first meal last night, quotes this Beis Yosef. V'chas of HaKolbo, mishameke lirchotz min amincho l'maylo raglov over al divrei chachamim. If you do this, you're violating rabbinic law. Ach, however, he says, min ha-kodum, shahanoshim rochatzos roshan, min ha-mincho ulamayla b'yom Tisha B'Av. But there is a minig that women used to wash their heads after mincha on Tisha B'Av. That there is a minhag. V'ziknei harishonim in higuzeh. And the wise, the zikanim from the rishonim established such a minig. V'asu smach l'davar al masha amru b'hagada, ki ha-mashiach nolad b'yom Tisha B'Av. Today's a big day. Today's a real big day, because the Mashiach is nolad on Tisha B'Av. Mashiach is born today. Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. We'll come back to this. V'tzorech lazo zecher l'goel, so if the Mashiach is born today, we got to do something that's happy. We have to do something that's nechama-like, something that's comfort-like, so that we should not give up from redemption. And then the Beis Yosef continues something which I'm uncomfortable reading, because it does not speak to the current situation of the high level of Torah learning among women. He speaks to, apparently, the reality with which he was familiar. So why dafka do women need this special zecher not to have a yiush from Geula? I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to translate it. It's hard enough. V'zeu dafka l'nashim l'fi she'en chalushos mi'laha min b'nechamos mi'pnei she'enon yodo sefer l'fichoch tzrichos chizuk. But we men, we know Sefer, so we don't need Chizuk. Anyway, there's something going on here. For those who need the Chizuk, there's this real striking kula of washing your head after Mincha and Tisha B'Av. Yeah, I know. There's no Mixas Yom Kukula. I got it. There's no Rechitza Panav Yodav Arag. I got it. No, only by Avelus Chadasha, not by Avelos Yishana. But the women are allowed because we want to make sure that they remember that the Mashiach was born today. So we men, we know the Mashiach was born today. We're not going to be Messiahish. We can't be Messiahish, so we have to do something like an extra bonus. So here's another example of something's going on today that's not all horror. There's something going on today. There's something epis positive going on now that we need to access somehow. If you turn the page, I xeroxed the Medrash that Mashiach was born today. There are three different versions of this Medrash, and I'm only going to read one. This comes from Medrash Eicha Zuta Nuscha Shnia. It's also a Yerushalmi, a Zirax Yerushalmi on page 31, and it's also a Medrash Eicha. It's an amazing story. On the Pasuk Ein Lo Menachem Mikolo Aveh, the Pasuk in Eicha. Zok the Medrash, Amru, also Hayom, in the second paragraph, also Hayom Shenichnasu Oivim Le'ir, V'yichrivu Beis HaMikdash, Hayachutz LiYerushalayim Yehudi Echad Choresh B'machrashto. On the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was this Yidl somewhere far away, who was plowing with a plowshare. And all of a sudden, V'ra'a shehaparasha hayachoresh ba, hipila es atzma la'aretz, v'la hoysa rotze lachrosh. She threw herself to the ground, I'm done. I'm taking a break, I'm not, I refuse to plow. Elatamid hoysa ga'ara, and he would get angry at her, and she wouldn't respond. Ra'a osa ha'ish, v'nivhal ma'od. V'hayamake es hapar k'desha tachrosh, v'lo haysa rotza, elo tamid haysa mapeles atzma la'aretz. V'hu make osa tamid. But this, you see it? He's chugging along, doing his work, and all of a sudden, ice para, plop. What do you do? In the middle, he's hacking, and then the par is not moving, and he's hacking, and the par is not moving, and he's getting angry. Ad sheshama kol. Omer malucha lepara. What do you want from the cow? Hanachosa shehitzo ekes al churban abayis v'la mikdash shenisraf hayom. The cow is smarter than you. The cow knows something that you don't know. The cow knows the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He's beside it. It is beside itself. She is beside herself, whatever a cow is. She ain't going anywhere. That's it. I'm done. I'm packing up. I'm finished. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Shama ha'ish miyad karas begadav. So the first he hears about it. Because he's introduced, you remember? He is chutz liYerushalayim. See, he doesn't know what's going on. So some voice tells him that the cow knows something you don't know, and that's why the cow isn't working. Miad, first time he hears about a chorus begadav v'talash ha'sa'ar v'tza'ak v'nasan efer al rosha u'bacha v'omer oy no li oy no li. It's an appropriate reaction to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. La'achar bezo gimel sha'os amda ha'para al ragleha v'rakta v'samcha. Right, shtel zachfar, a couple hours later, cow picks itself up, starts dancing. Happy cow! The cow is happy. Tama ha'ish ma'od. Guy doesn't understand. I never saw my cow dance. I thought my cow was depressed. Now my cow was tutzach. Shama kol omer. So the same voice comes back. Ta'on, load up. V'charosh and plow. Ki b'sha azos nolad Mashiach. Shama ha'ish. It's still Tisha B'Av, right? Still Tisha, 2 hours later. On the same day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Messiah was born, on Tisha B'Av. Shama ha'ish, rochatz panav, etz shpreitzach, he cleans his face, v'kam, next word, v'samach, he's a happy guy. Etc., etc., etc. The rest of the story is not relevant for us right now. If you look in the Yerushalmi on page 31, Yerushalmi on page 31 tells the same story, but instead of a voice, it's an Arab. An Arab comes and tells him that the Messiah was born, and tells him that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. I'm going to say that again, because you didn't believe me when I said it the first time. The Yerushalmi says, and I Xerox the Yerushalmi on page 31, look where the lines get, in the middle where they get wide. He says to him, Bar Yudai, Shadei Turach, Shadei Kankanach, Dahacharev Beis Mikdashach. Let go because the Beis Mikdash is destroyed. Right away, after a little bit of time, He comes back to me, he says, bar yudoi, ketor torech, u ketor kan konecha, da hayolid malko meshicha. Amalei mashmei menachem. Amalei mashmo da avoi, amalei chiskia. Amalei min heinhu, where's he from? Amalei min biras malko de beslechem Yehuda. So you didn't know that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. So beferish Yerushalmi. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem on Tisha B'Av, on the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the cow, Efreitzach, and the owner of the cow, according to the Echa Rabasi, Efreitzach, he's dancing a jig, he's Mesameach on Tisha B'Av. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 2 hours ago. But the Mashiach was born. Oh, the Mashiach was born. I'm happy. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. 2 hours ago, the Mashiach was born. Yet another example of this duality that I'm trying to tease out. You should know, top of page 32, and you can understand very well, doesn't require that much explanation for you to realize that during the Middle Ages, the Jews were tief, tire, and dread from this medrash. Because the Christians said, you're telling me the Messiah hasn't been here yet. You yourself say the Messiah was born already. And guess what? The Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Sabeferish Yerushalmi. Nazirus at the top of page 32 from the Vikuch of the Ramban. The Ramban Nebuch got slammed with this by Pablo Cristiani in Barcelona in 1263. When Pablo Cristiani quotes this whole Medrash and says, what are you talking about? The Messiah has come. You yourself say the Messiah has come. It's in your holy books. So the Ramban says, no, you know what? It really is a proof for me. Because it says that the Messiah was born on the day the temple was destroyed, and your Messiah, we all know, was born before the temple was destroyed. Right? Jesus was before the Churban. So is a raya like me? So adarabba. So Pablo Cristiani says to him, listen, I'm not getting into Jesus now. I just want to know, did the Messiah come or did the Messiah not come? Your book says the Messiah came, finished. So we're right. We say the Messiah came. You say the Messiah didn't come. Yerushalmi, the Medrash says the Messiah came. So you're wrong. At which point, the Ramban is mamish between a rock and a hard place. And the Ramban says, you know what? I don't take it literally. And I don't take it seriously. And the Ramban then gets into this whole discussion about what is the attitude towards Agadah in our tradition. Do we have to really believe literally everything Chazal tell us on Agadah? And here he just says, I don't take it seriously. This is his immediate response. And then the proceedings are adjourned until Monday. And on Monday, after this, we have the Ramban's protocol of the Vikuach. We also have the Christian protocol of the Vikuach. Fascinating to compare the two. On Monday morning, the Ramban says, you know what, before we proceed, I have to clarify something that I said in our last session. And he goes into this long discussion about what should be the attitude of our attitude towards the literalness of Agadah or not. But he had a real hard time getting out of this, because this is a pretty strong argument on their behalf. I only mention it because it is an example of the other side of Tisha B'Av. Look at the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz in the bottom right of page 32. Tashbetz quotes a minug. No, I can 3 lines from the bottom. If there's a mila on Tisha B'Av, va'adar rabba noagim kisha hamila hi ba'oso yom mechanen shem hayeled menachem. That there's a minug Yisrael to call a baby, in some cases, born on Tisha B'Av, and in some cases, the mila on Tisha B'Av, we call the baby Menachem. Why? Because the Mashiach came today. Whether it's the Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, so it's Shayach that the Mashiach should be born today, Tisha B'Av, Tav Shin, Ayin Aleph, or the way the Medrash says, the Mashiach was born Yene Tisha B'Av in the year 70, shtickle problematic because he hasn't shown up yet. Must be a very old man if he was born close to 2,000 years ago. But the whole Medrash points to the duality of Tisha B'Av. Whether it's the cow, whether it's the person, whether it's the Arab, whether it's a kind of a baskol. There's something going on here that's positive. I want to conclude by inviting you to think about this. So what do we make of all of this? What do we make of the fact that there is all of this bleeding of avelus and even the word simcha? Whether the word simcha is the simcha of the kids throwing stuff in shul that the Malbim was justifying, whether it's the lashon simcha in the chidah about samchu simcha gedola, whether it's the Rav's Shita in Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, Pikudei Hashem Yisar Misamche Lev, which coexists with the Avelos, whether it's the Aruch HaShulchan that explains why Tisha B'Av is Kara Alay Moed, because it's going to be a holiday, whether it's the Magen Avraham, why do we have to have a big Suda before Tisha B'Av? Not the way the Ramah says, because we should just practically be able to deal with the fast, but because it conjures up simcha and joy, and the notion that the Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. This all has to add up to something. And I'm not sure exactly what it adds up to. What I would say at this point, and I'm open for input, is that we can't just feel the sadness, but we have to feel a sense of hope. And I think for us it's wasted, because, you know, it's not like we feel the sadness so much. You know, in those doiris, when Tisha B'Av was overwhelming, and when the world situation was such that they were crushed by the reality in which they lived, they needed hope. They needed chizuk, the lashon chizuk of the Beis Yosef, about the women and the hair after Chatzos, after Mincha and Tisha B'Av. So that's where I think it's coming from. I think it's coming from a desire at the core of our Mesorah to create, in many different ways, a context of pushing back against the overwhelming nature of what Tisha B'Av and the Churban is all about. Which today, I think, is wasted, because today we don't feel it. So we need more Churban today. We don't need the other part today. We don't need Chizuk. We need to really wallow and really face and really encounter and really deal with the intensity of the destruction and what's so sad about not having a Beis HaMikdash. I quoted for you the Medrash about Shofach HaMoso Aleitzim Alavod V'lo Shofach HaMoso Al Yisrael. So not this past Shabbos, but the Shabbos before this past Shabbos, I was in Gibraltar. I mentioned to you I went on this trip. We were in Gibraltar for Shabbos. So on Friday, we come to Gibraltar, and we go to the Jewish grocery store. It's called the Abu Draham store. It's from the Mishpacha of the Abu Draham. Abu Darham, Abu Draham. In the Beis HaKvaris in Gibraltar, it's a Chasher V'Yid from the Avodraham family. Originally, I thought that it was our Avodraham, Reb David Avodraham, but it's not him, it's a member of the family. So an Einikel owns the Jewish grocery store in Gibraltar. So we walk into the Jewish grocery store in Gibraltar, and they're like beside themselves, because they just got the news that Rabbi Lazar Abu Chatzera was stabbed by somebody who had come to see him the night before, Thursday night in Beersheva. And now it's Friday morning, and we're walking into a Jewish community, and that's the news that greets us. The next morning in shul, I'm davening behind the Parnas. It's a fascinating community, the Gibraltar community, fascinating. So I'm davening in the row behind the Parnas, and the Parnas turns to me and he says, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to do something really horrible for Bnei Yisrael. So he took Rabbi Lazar Abu Chatzera as the korban, as the kapara, for what was supposed to happen to the Jewish people. That he really had it in for us. Something massive was supposed to happen to the Jewish people, but he spared the Jewish people, and instead, he took Rabbi Lazar. That's what he says to me in Shul de Parnas in Gibraltar. And I was totally taken aback by that formulation, and I went immediately to this medrash. But here, it wasn't Shafach HaMaso al Eitzim v'Alavanim, but here, a great Jew was stabbed to death. It's shocking. We have a concept in our tradition of Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper, but to hear it, articulate it, and to live through it in 2011 is very powerful. So obviously I have no idea, I don't understand anything, but I share it with you as a tushtel to this medrash. And at the end of the day, we know nothing, and at the end of the day, it's all in God's hands. And we have no reason to know anything, and we have no reason to be upset that we don't know anything. Why should we know anything? We know nothing, zero. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Fiat Tevelt, and that's it. And maybe that's sort of the crunch takeaway, is that it's a horrible day, and it's a day of Avelus, and it's a day of Tainis, and it's a day of Churban, and it's a day of Golos, and it's a day of Golos Yisrael, and it's a day of Golos Shechina. But there is some hope here, there's some consolation, there's some thread of a connection. Ad kedei kach, there may even be, as strange as it sounds, some kind of a simcha, something, to keep us going through all of these difficult times. Let's go back to the kinos.